We're back in John this week, John chapter 9, if you want to be turning there, which I will be turning there. John chapter 9, we're back. We've been off of John for a while. I've skipped two chapters, and that's just the way that it is. John chapter 9, I want to begin with this question: why do bad things happen to good people? This is one of the great questions of humanity, right? This is one of the questions that will be part of the human experience. Why do bad things happen to good people? Now, why do we ask this? This stems from our sense of justice, right? This innate idea, we want things to be fair. I want the people that do bad to have bad things happen to them, and the people that do good to have good things happen to them. It's an idea of fairness, right? That's what we want. We want justice. That's why we like, generally, the legal system. We want bad people to be punished, and we want good people to be let off. It's a question that people in the Bible grapple with, because so often that's not what happens. Bad people get good things, and good people have bad things. And that doesn't make sense with our innate understanding of justice. Job struggles with this for most of the book of Job. This is basically his question. I feel like I've been a good person, God. Why are you letting these horrible things happen to me? The preacher struggles with this in the book of Ecclesiastes. He struggles with this sort of seemingly random nature of life. I see bad people that they have a great reward and they do successfully in life. And I see that good people, they have no reward. They do terribly in life. Why is that? Why does it seem to be random? The people of our story today in John 9, they struggled with this question as well. John 9, 1 and 2. As he passed by, he being Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, to be fair, they're not really struggling with the question of why do bad things happen to good people, because what's their default assumption? It was an automatic assumption that someone had done something wrong. Who sinned, this man or his parents? The idea that maybe this wasn't an act of divine retribution never entered their minds. They automatically assumed, well, this man was born blind. Either he's a sinner or his parents are sinners. Because in their minds, again, this idea of fairness or justice, it should always have been that bad things happen to bad people. So when they see a person who had a bad thing happen to them, automatic assumption, he's a bad person. Or maybe his parents were bad, and that's why this happened. Is human suffering sometimes the result of sin? Absolutely it is. And that's how they're viewing this, right? They view this story, that this man's human suffering, his blindness, was a result of sin. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes if you drink and drive, there's going to be tragedy. But not always, right? If you steal and cheat, guess what? Your relationships will suffer. People won't like you. People won't want to be around you. If you're sexually promiscuous, you might get any number of diseases. Yes, absolutely. Sometimes sin leads to human suffering. Often sin leads to human suffering. And yet, what we find, even in any of these situations, if you drink and drive, it may not be you that suffers the tragedy. When we're sexually promiscuous, again, it might not be me that suffers the tragedy. So sin does lead to human suffering, but not always suffering on the part of the one who sinned. As we see in the case of the man born blind, what about this man born blind? What was his reason? Why was he suffering? Jesus answered, 3-5, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. According to Jesus, why was the man born blind? There is a very specific, definitive reason why he was born blind, and that is so Jesus could heal him at this particular moment. He was born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him, so that God's power might be shown through the miraculous healing of his blindness. It was not that he sinned. It was not that his parents sinned. And is this fair to the man who's lived maybe 30 years blind? just so this one event could happen? Think about the hardness of his life, the difficulty that he's had in life, the difficulty that his parents would have had in his life raising this blind child, and it's particularly back then as opposed to today. Was that fair to the man to suffer for those 30 years just so Jesus could have one moment of displaying the power of God? Our problem, part of our problem in understanding human suffering is our misapplication of this idea of fairness. We're obsessed with fairness. We're obsessed with justice. I want things to be fair. I want things to be just. But no, you don't. No, you don't. We think about fairness, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned, Romans 5:12. You don't want fair. You don't want just. Because what's fair and just for you is death. Just like what's fair and just for me is death. Because I have sinned, like you have sinned. You don't want fairness. You want mercy. You want forgiveness. Well, mercy and forgiveness are not fair. They're not just. Part of our understanding, our misunderstanding of this story, in addition to any of the number of the things that happen in this life, is we don't really want fair, except when fair benefits us. But when it doesn't benefit us, man, throw fairness out the window. Give me justice, or give me mercy, give me forgiveness. And as we look at this story of this man in this horrible situation, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. It is always fair that God gets the glory. It's always right and just that God is glorified. Why? Because he's the creator, he's the life giver, and he's the one who gives mercy. We keep going in the story as we see what happens here. Oh, now I got to go forward. I shouldn't have gone back. 6 and 7 of John 9, having said these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The suffering of this man served as a means by which Jesus' power might be displayed. And that was the point, I think, as we read through the Gospel of John. One of the things that the Gospel writer John is trying to accomplish here is proving who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is amazing. He is the one that you should turn to. He is the Savior of the world. Why? In part because of stories like this. Because there was a man born blind, and he spit in the mud, and then the guy was healed. This is not medicine by any means, right? The pool does not have healing powers. The dirt is just dirt. The saliva is just saliva. What's on display here is clearly a miraculous event. The power of God. That's why this man had suffered. Ultimately, God used this circumstance to his own glory. Next week, we're going to look at how the people reacted to this. But for our purposes, thinking about why bad things happen to good people, we might well just answer the question in general, why do bad things happen? Bad things happen so that God's glory may be seen. 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 9. So to keep me, this is Paul talking about himself, and he's gone through a section in 2 Corinthians about boasting, about being proud. Okay, well, I could be proud. I'm great. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a teacher. I'm well educated. I'm an apostle. All of these things that Paul was could have been great for. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. To keep me from becoming conceited, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. By all indications, Paul did not deserve this thorn in the flesh. It was not just that Paul received this thorn in the flesh. He was great. He was an apostle. He was a teacher. He was one sent by God to the Gentiles to minister to them. But why? My grace is sufficient for you. You need to be weak so that my power might be seen. It is only through the imperfections of life that we see the perfect nature of God. It is only because things go wrong that we see the healing and merciful power of God. If your life was perfect, why would you need God? If your life was perfect, why would you give glory to God? It is through suffering and pain and hardship that the power of God is more fully realized, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those we evangelize. The lives of those who see us. Bad things serve as vessels of God's glory in the life of the Christian. John 11, 1 through 4. This is a similar instance in John. Just a few chapters later, two chapters later in the book of John, we see the exact same point. This is not an isolated case. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it. Now, we're not going to read the rest of the story in John 11, but what we see in John 11 is Jesus sort of dallies. He doesn't immediately go to Lazarus, but he kind of takes his time getting to Lazarus. And in that time that he's sort of dallying around and not really trying to get there, Lazarus ends up dying. Why? Certainly Lazarus didn't deserve to die. Surely this illness was not something that Lazarus deserved because of his sin, but so that Jesus could prove, I have the power over life and death. I have the power to raise this man from the dead so that the glory of God may be seen through Lazarus' suffering. The ultimate point of this story was the same, bringing glory to God through the alleviation of human tragedy, through helping in times of suffering. And when bad things happen, we've got to kind of ask ourselves these questions. Do we seek reason and justification where there may be none? When bad things happen, sometimes, guess what? You're not going to know the reason. You're not going to know the answer. And we can tear our hair out trying to figure out, why did this happen to me? And you may never know the answer. You may never get to know. You can drive yourself crazy trying to figure it out. Do we use false platitudes of comfort? Well, everything happens for a reason. Guess what? Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody who's suffering wants to hear that. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't help at all. Everything happens for a reason. Oh, great. Now I know that God's intentionally making me suffer. Nobody wants to hear that. That doesn't help. Well, if you just turn back to God, he would help you. Again, nobody wants to hear that. When you're suffering, when life is horrible, when things have gone tragically wrong, you don't want to hear that it's because you were sinful, because you didn't do the right thing. And quite frankly, it's false. Maybe you are suffering because of sin, but maybe not. Do we blame God or unjustly torment ourselves? These are two ends of the spectrum, right? Sometimes when bad things happen, we blame God. Well, we shouldn't be blaming God. Who should we be blaming? Probably the devil or ourselves. Then we can go too far with it, right? And we just tear ourselves apart. We just can't overcome our guilt. We just can't overcome the horribleness that's going on in our lives. And we torment ourselves and we don't see God's power in it. We don't see the glory of God because we're so obsessed with ourselves. Both extremes are wrong, blaming God or tormenting yourself. That doesn't accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And here's ultimately the question, right? Do we seek opportunity to glorify God when times are hard, when tragedy strikes, when things go wrong? Do we look for the opportunity to glorify God in that circumstance? Or is it all about us? It's not about you. Jesus relieved human suffering for God's glory. And we need to ask ourselves the other question. Do we do the same? when we see suffering in other people's lives, when we see tragedy in other people's lives, do we try to help? Do we try to alleviate it? And one of the things that comes out of the story of John 9, one of these phrases, this sort of particular phrase, Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." The suffering of the Gospels was primarily there so that Jesus could demonstrate his glory through helping those people. Might we say that the suffering today would serve the same purpose for the church? You are the light of the world in Matthew 5:14. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Implying what? That I'm going to be doing some good works. That I'm going to be helping people in some way. That I'm going to be working in the same way that Christ works, not that I'm healing people who are blind, but that I am alleviating human suffering for the glory of God. Why do bad things happen? So that we can fix it. Why do bad things happen? So that the church can do the same things that Jesus did and glorify God, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This world is full of suffering and tragedy, and it is our job to act as Jesus did and to act for the glory of God in tragedy. Is this the only reason that bad things happen to good people? No, of course not. There are myriad reasons why bad things happen to good people, not least of which is the devil trying to push us away from God. And sometimes, guess what? It's just chance. Because this world's not perfect, right? Paul talks about that in Romans 8, that this world, this creation has been subjected to futility, that this world itself is not as it should be. Sometimes just stuff happens. But here's my point as we look at John chapter 9. Perhaps not next time tragedy strikes, we can have the same attitude that James and Peter had. James 1, 2 through 4, count it all joy. Don't be sad. Don't be apathetic. Don't be angry. Be joyful when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, so that your suffering can bring you closer to God. Are we joyful when bad things happen? I don't know. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though some strange thing were happening, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. This is not an exhaustive examination of human suffering, but my point, particular point out of John 9, and I think what Jesus is trying to say, was it this man who sinned or his parents? Neither. This man was born blind. This man suffered so that God might be glorified. Is that how we view human tragedy? Is that how we view human suffering? As an opportunity to bring glory to God?